Hello everyone and welcome to the Smash Business Show. Today is Tuesday, May 20, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Anika Ellis Baby, and we have got a packed show for you today.
So, the first headline.
NVIDIA, UAE's MGX plan to build Europe's largest data center.
Saudi PIF opens Paris office, aims to double European investments.
Pavel Durov slams Mark Zuckerberg, calls WhatsApp a cheap copycat of Telegram.
And UAE's travel and tourism sector to add more than 26,000 jobs this year. And finally, we're going to talk about Codex. Will coding become obsolete as AI automates it in ChatGPT? A little out of our league, but we should discuss it because it's one of the biggest developments in the world right now. Before that, in an age where one viral post can undo years of work, IRM360 is hosting a private invite-only event in Dubai Marina on May 21, 2025, tailored for those who can't afford to leave the reputation chance, led by Nino Kader, the strategist behind the Qatar World Cup's image turnaround, and Dennis Broberg, whose firm has generated over $100 million in ad-driven revenue while safeguarding high-profile brands. This exclusive session is designed for founders, public figures, family offices, and their advisors. With limited seats available, the morning and afternoon sessions will offer discreet, high-impact insights. Apply now to receive your private invitation. And let's jump into the first story. NVIDIA and Abu Dhabi's investment firm NGX are teaming up with French partners to build what's being called Europe's largest AI data center. The project announced at the Choose France Summit in Versailles, a lot of news is coming out of that conference, will be located near Paris, Paris, and is expected to have a massive capacity of 1.4 gigawatts.
So this initiative is part of a broader AI cooperation agreement between France and the United Arab Emirates following UAE President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan's visit to French President Emmanuel Macron earlier this year. During that visit, Emirati officials discussed plans to invest up to 50 billion euros in French data center infrastructure.
And the project is seen as a strategic alignment of France's push for AI sovereignty and the UAE's ambition to diversify its economy and expand global influence. Macron, the French president, has committed 109 billion euros for AI development as France looks to compete with global tech leaders like the US and China.
Key partners in the data center campus include BPI France, Mistral AI, Bouges SA, EDF Group, and Ecole Polytechnique, which already collaborates with the Mohammed bin Zayed University of AI in Abu Dhabi. The project's first phase is slated to go live in 2028 and represents an 8.5 billion euro investment.
And MGX is backed by His Highness Sheikh Thanun bin Zayed, a central figure in global tech investments. The firm has supported OpenAI and XAI and is also being tied to the $500 billion US AI project known as Stargate, which will invest $100 billion each year into the US economy. Yeah. And very important news, right? Very big.
Yeah, as we were reading it, I quickly went to check NVIDIA stock.
Upright,
and it's already in the 0.717.
Are you buying it now? Or?
I bought long back.
Oh, nice.
And ever since Trump came to the UAE, I have been...
Yeah, making money.
I have just been so confident.
She's wearing the green color of currency as well. So
yes.
Yeah, she's literally bathing in money right now. But yeah, a lot of tech stocks, to be honest, have gone up since that visit because there's been so many announcements.
So much, especially in AI.
Yeah. UAE wanted the NVIDIA chips. Now they've finally gotten it.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia wanted the NVIDIA chips. They've gotten it. There was a law which was going to come into place on 15 May. The funny thing is no one talked about it. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe it got pushed down. But 15 May was the time when everyone was going to be divided into three tiers. And UAE and Saudi were in tier two. So they would not get the amount that they got. So hopefully that bill is on the side. Something is happening. Today,
I'm sure something's happened.
Yeah. Funnily, Trump today also has pushed the AI bill forward. There's a deepfake bill that is now signed that anyone who creates a deepfake image, which is bad, which is vulgar, will be now prosecuted in court. So that's also...
Oh, amazing.
So yeah, a lot of things are coming out of this tech environment because we're living in the age of AI and it's just the start. Mm-hmm. And talking about AI and Saudi Arabia, we can't leave them out. The next story is about Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, which is expanding its global presence with the opening of a new office in Paris. The move is part of the kingdom's strategy to deepen economic ties with France and double its investment across Europe by 2030.
The Paris office adds to the Sovereign Wealth Fund's global network, which already includes branches in New York, London, Hong Kong, and Beijing. French President Emmanuel Macron was expected to attend the launch event alongside senior Saudi officials.
And PIF Governor Yasser Al-Rumayyan revealed that the fund plans to increase its European investments and procurements to $170 billion by the end of the decade, 2030, nearly double the $85 billion it has already deployed across the continent since 2017. Nearly $9 billion of that total has gone to France alone.
While details about staffing or future investments in France were not disclosed, the PIF already holds a strong partnership with French private equity firm Ardian. Together, they control nearly 40% of London's Heathrow Airport. The Paris expansion reflects growing Saudi interest in strategic assets across Europe.
And the PIF is balancing its global ambitions with the demands of Vision 2030 at home. As the kingdom faces growing budget pressures and lower oil revenues, the funding is ramping up debt sales, IPOs, and tapping new investor pools, aiming to invest up to $70 billion annually after 2025. It's a very interesting story, Annika, because UAE, MGX, and media, French partners, AI data centers, Europe's largest, and Saudi Arabia is like, okay, we will also jump in. We want to do something. We'll open a Paris office. We have one in London. We have one in Hong Kong. Yeah. Saudi Arabia obviously is the headquarter of the headquarters. And then we'll open an office in Paris. And the investment that Saudi Arabia, this report was especially interesting because the investment that they made in France alone, $9 billion. It's
wow.
Really interesting.
That is huge.
And they're doubling from $85 billion in Europe to $170 by the end of the decade. So I think Europe is not dead. A lot of people are saying that European economy is on the back drop and Middle East is in the front.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there is money to be made in Europe.
Yeah.
I think this is the right time that Saudi and UAE are jumping in, buying stuff for not the premium price, but at least a common normal price. And they're going to make money out of it.
100%,
so, yeah. Would you invest in Europe or Middle East if you could start a business right now? If you put your bias aside.
Well, no, I mean, I have to have bias as a wise investor. But I mean, right now, the Middle East is looking more promising. So,
yeah, Annika is investing in Middle East. I'm investing in Middle East most probably if I ever get a chance. But yeah, talking about all of this, and there was a very interesting Telegram post by Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram, and a tweet by him also. Let's talk about it. In a fresh escalation of tech rivalry, I love these, Elon Musk versus Sam Altman and all these guys. But this is Pavel Durov versus Mark Zuckerberg, and a lot of information that I got for this story is new for me as well. I never knew they had a long history. So Telegram founder Pavel Durov has launched a scathing attack on Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg and WhatsApp, accusing the platform of copying Telegram's features and spreading smear campaigns.
Durov made the comments on his official Telegram channel, where he announced a $50,000 contest encouraging creators to make viral videos showing how Telegram has led the messaging industry, while WhatsApp follows. He called WhatsApp a platform trapped in the past, in quotes, and claimed the app's innovations are delayed and diluted versions of Telegram's.
And Telegram says it has identified 30 features it introduced first, with more to come. Durov claimed WhatsApp has actively run PR campaigns to discredit Telegram, saying, "We've caught WhatsApp running smear campaigns, so it's only fair we hit back."
This feud isn't new. Telegram and WhatsApp have been rivals since 2013, after Meta acquired WhatsApp for $19 billion in 2014. A major outage pushed 5 million users to Telegram in just one day. Since then, Durov has positioned Telegram as a secure, surveillance-free alternative.
And over the years, Durov has repeatedly criticized WhatsApp's privacy model. He once called it a honeypot, for hackers and governments and urge users to delete it entirely. Still, WhatsApp offers end-to-end encryption by default, something Telegram does not enable across all chats.
Tensions between the two tech founders go back to 2009, when Durov claimed that Mark Zuckerberg copied VK features after a meeting. In 2025, the rivalry remains fierce, with Durov branding Zuck an opportunist and defending Telegram's independence, while WhatsApp continues to lead the market with over 2 billion users.
And Telegram, apparently, according to Pavel Durov, also has 1 billion users. He announced it before he was arrested in France. So, yeah, a good rivalry. To be honest, I think, Annika, at the end of the day, it's whenever these big tech bros and big tech entrepreneurs fight, the consumer wins. Because then they will try to make their service so much better for the consumer. And yeah. I always believe that WhatsApp is better right now. Do you use Telegram? Have you used Telegram?
I have little bit, but not too much. Yeah. I've also been one who uses WhatsApp a lot. But I don't completely disagree with Pavel Durov, because I do feel like Meta tends to copy a lot of features from other apps. Like recently they launched Edits. Edits is just basically another copy of CapCut.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's they have a history of copying things and
so
trying to do.
I think his idea is if something is doing good, just make your own version.
Yeah, right? And then Threads, we have Twitter. Yeah. Facebook and Instagram were just generally the first things to come
I think
about.
The only original thing that he made, and it's not original even, Facebook was already being implemented in different ways. If you've seen the movie, it's so interesting, the movie made on him. It's according to Mark Zuckerberg, the movie is not at all true. But if you look at it, there's like 5% truth in that movie. He actually copied the idea from two brothers who wanted him to build Facebook, but for Harvard students. It didn't have a name, Facebook, at that point. And then he stole the idea and he was like, okay, I'll make my own. So, history of copying stuff. But, WhatsApp is good. But, again, Mark Zuckerberg didn't make it. Someone else made it. He just bought it.
Yeah.
So, let's go to the UAE now. And the travel and tourism sector is on track to create more than 26,000 new jobs this year. So, if you're looking to come here, if you have something in travel and tourism, definitely you have new jobs. According to the latest data from World Travel and Tourism Council, this would bring the total workforce in the sector to 925,000 by 2025, a 21% increase from pre-pandemic levels.
So the surge in employment is matched by record-breaking international visitor spending. The WTTC projects 228.5 billion dirhams, or over $62 billion, in foreign tourist expenditure next year, while domestic spending will climb to 60 billion dirhams. This is up nearly 50% from 2019.
And Julia Simpson, CEO of WTTC, called 2024 a record year for the UAE and predicts even faster growth in 2025. The country's strong infrastructure, smooth visa process, and world-class air connectivity continue to fuel the sector's momentum.
Looking ahead, the contribution of tourism to the UAE economy is expected to reach 267.5 billion dirhams in 2025, accounting for almost 13% of the GDP. Major upcoming attractions, including Disneyland Abu Dhabi, the Guggenheim, and Zayed National Museum, are expected to broaden the UAE's visitor base.
And by 2035, 1 million people in the UAE are forecast to be working in tourism. The launch of Dubai's Al Maktoum International Airport Terminal in 2032 will be key to unlocking further growth, supported by a national drive for seamless digital travel. Disney. They talked about Disney. The story talks about Disney. And I think I think you must have noticed, because we work so much on Abu Dhabi, UAE, Dubai. Everyone has forgotten the sphere. I don't see any talk about the sphere, right? Remember the sphere?
I was just thinking, I was like, what is he talking about?
Right? As soon as it was announced that the second sphere in the world after Las Vegas will be in Abu Dhabi, I don't think any update has come out. They made an Instagram page. I remember the video that came out. But after that, there hasn't been much updates. Because it's again, like Disney, a 5-6 year long project.
Disney is going to take 7 years or so to come about.
But no one's talking about this fair. People should talk about this fair, because it's one of the most iconic things that you can see in the world, in Las Vegas only, and Abu Dhabi has. The Disney World is the seventh Disneyland in the world. So I think we should talk about that also. Yeah.
I remember so many comments coming about how usually people had to dream about visiting Disneyland because they were so hard to get visas to the U.S. And now, because visas to UAE are comparatively so much more easier, it's just money. So, you know, it just makes life so much easier.
Disney CEO Bob Iger and all these guys, they actually saw all of this because U.S. has made it very difficult under Trump to enter the country even.
Yeah.
And then immigration policy. And so much is happening in the U.S. that they're like, okay, this country has a lot of potential, already has shown a lot of potential. Best place to build the next Disneyland.
100%.
So let's see. I will go to it most probably 100% as soon as it opens. Uh-huh. Opening night most probably. But let's try... let's move on. And there's one part left for Annika.
So Ms. Simpson emphasized that in a fragmented world, tourism promotes cultural connectivity, as we mentioned. The UAE, she said, isn't just building attractions. It's creating a global hub for experiences that bring people together.
Yeah, such nice
as we
words.
Discussed.
Yeah. And last story of the day, and it's a little complicated. That is why we are doing it, because it's actually... the time where AI is taking away jobs. Recently, we saw that Microsoft fired 6% of its employees across the board. That is nearly 1,000 people. And two departments were the most effective, product development and development, code development. So 30% of their code they're writing. So this thing comes right at this time.
Because of codex.
Yeah. And the question is coding becoming obsolete? And that's the question some are asking. After OpenAI launched a preview of its most advanced coding assistant yet, Codex, now integrated directly into ChatGPT, the new tool aims to transform the way developers write, fix, and manage code.
Codex works like a virtual software engineer embedded inside ChatGPT. Instead of relying on internet access or local tools, it runs entirely in the cloud and can read, test and edit entire code bases, even connected to private GitHub repositories, using simple natural language prompts.
And users of ChatGPT's Pro, Team or Enterprise plans can access Codex from the sidebar and assign tasks using plain English. For example, saying add a login page is enough for Codex to work. Mind-blowing. It can even pause if it encounters errors, explaining issues and offering solutions in real time.
OpenAI says Codex is already being used internally to handle routine development tasks like writing, documentation, and running tests. The aim is to free up human engineers to focus on higher-level problem-solving and creative work, treating Codex more like a teammate than a tool.
However, Codex isn't flawless. Experts warn it still makes mistakes, especially when faced with vague instructions or subtle bugs. Human oversight remains essential, especially for mission-critical applications. And to limit misuse, Codex won't generate harmful code and can't access the open internet.
Industry leaders believe AI coding assistants will soon become the norm. Microsoft and Google estimate that AI already generates around 30% of their internal code, a number expected to rise. Codex may not replace programmers, but it's certainly redefining how coding gets done.
And that's very important because a lot of big, Anika's from India, right? India is one of the, you have an Indian passport, but India is like one of the biggest exports hub of coders and software developers, right?
Yeah.
Bangalore, I think, is like the center of
the Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So I think a lot of them would be worried, like, what is happening? But this is a very nice balanced approach. That is why all this was written, that they just treat it as a teammate.
Yeah.
Don't treat it as your replacement. Treat it as a teammate.
But I mean, of course, if if your skills are only at that level, it becomes something that can replace you.
Yeah.
So let's not deny that AI is replacing humans.
Yeah.
But I think what is an important skill to develop in this time and age right now is not how to be better than AI, but rather how to interact with AI.
Yeah.
You know, people who can talk to AI and know, because a lot of times AI makes mistakes because the instructions are not clear enough. So I guess focusing on how to talk to AI, how to give instructions, how to communicate to get what you need, that is becoming a much more essential skill today.
Yeah. There's a word
so
for
I
it.
So I could basically become a coder now.
Yeah, everyone can.
If I just learned how to talk to AI.
This Codex, it comes at a time when I already have used two or three things to create an app. I was experimenting with a lot of, there's Lovable. It's very simple for everyday use, a very basic app it can make. It can deploy it and you can use it. Then you have Replit. It's by a Jordanian-American entrepreneur, Amjad Masad. We cover him a lot on our socials. That guy created Replit, and it has an AI agent in it. So the only good thing about OpenAI and ChatGPT and Codex is it's inside ChatGPT. So right. You don't have to go anywhere. It's
right.
Kind of like ChatGPT is becoming that super app where you
yeah,
like you went to Google for everything. Now you go to ChatGPT for everything. So really interesting times for software developers and writers as well, because I remember as soon as ChatGPT came out, a lot of people were like, oh, writers are dead, copywriters are dead, marketing copywriters, every kind of writing person who does it is dead.
Honestly.
But we've actually evolved with
it,
right?
Yeah, I personally find ChatGPT's writing very annoying
at this point. It becomes annoying because it has a set of ideas which it will use. I can't remember the headline. I saw this very good headline. A female player won something, and it was the first title, and it was a very interesting headline. And the guy wrote a whole piece on it that you can never in 100 years use AI to write it. Because there's so many cultural nuances and there's so many sports terminologies that came together to write just one headline. And that person over 15 years has been doing it. So for AI to be that creative, it will take a lot of time. Yeah. So rely on humans.
But if you want bare minimum.
Yeah, bare minimum, yeah. If you're trying to write 5,000 words of useless stuff, best ChatGPT, Grok, anything you want.
Oh, Grok, Perplexity, these are all good ones. Yeah. Better than ChatGPT in terms of text, I would say. But that's a wrap for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Smashy Business Show. Make sure you follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
Thank you so much, Annika, for joining me today. This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.6 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible. If you're one of them, we appreciate you. Have a great day.
And the recent 100K.
Oh, yeah, so we hit 100K followers on Instagram. Thank you very much.
So thank you.
Take care. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.